Florida was the setting for another contentious Republican presidential debate last night, the second in 2 weeks, this one hosted by CNN and the Tea Party. And Florida will be center stage again soon. Next week, Fox News hosts a debate in Orlando. The Florida Republican Party holds a mock election for state activists. And then Florida, of course, will hold one of the early primaries. So how did last night's debate, especially the look at Social Security, resonate in Florida? Last night, Mitt Romney once again pressed now frontrunner Rick Perry on Social Security, saying his past statements have been reckless, and asking, does Governor Perry continue to believe that Social Security should not be a federal program, that it's unconstitutional, and that it should be returned to the states? Here's Perry's response.
If what you're trying to say is that back in the 30s and the 40s that the federal government made all the right decisions, I disagree with you. And it's time for us to get back to the Constitution and a program that's been there 70 or 80 years. Obviously, we're not going to take that program away.
Okay, let's start there. Our next guest is calling September Republican Palooza Month in Florida. Mark Caputo covers politics for the Miami Herald. So, Mark, there's Rick Perry saying, obviously, we're not going to take that program away. What do people in Florida think? Do they believe him, or do they think that he is?
Remember, we've got a few different Floridas here, and the Florida that matters at the moment is the Republican primary electorate. And you know, we haven't polled on this, but it's my feeling that his comments aren't so bad. He's saying inflammatory things by saying Ponzi scheme and monstrous lie. But that's kind of standard conservative fare. They just don't say it in that way. So I don't think it will haunt him that badly. However, campaigns are marketing efforts. They're marketing endeavors. How much money, how much time, and how much of an effort does Mitt Romney put behind this message, in addition to the Democrats, to make this stick and to tarnish Rick Perry's chances with senior voters who comprise more than half of the electorate?
Well, or with younger voters. And the Chicago Tribune seems to come to the same conclusion that you have when thinking about Perry's stand on Social Security. They asked, has the Texas governor done himself serious harm? We don't think so, they conclude. Americans aren't full of naive illusions about Social Security. They grasp how unlikely it is that the program can continue without major reforms. So that it seems that he has been able to pivot from earlier comments in his book and elsewhere that people interpreted as him saying, get rid of it, with his more measured recent comments that it needs to be fixed.
Yeah, I think Perry had something very important in political stagecraft and in broadcast, and that's the crowd. And his one-liners, the crowd liked. He had the crowd applauding him and cheering him on. So that gives you an idea of the electorate. Now, albeit they might not be totally reflective, but they are a slice of the electorate.
Well, but it was a Tea Party audience. In fact,
that's a good 30% of 30-40% of the possible voters we're talking about. That's a good chunk of the primary voters.
Well, and let's ask though about their response to some other things that Rick Perry said and how that might resonate in Florida. He is a relatively moderate when it comes to immigration in Texas.
And that could haunt him.
Let's explain why. Explain what he did in Texas with college funding and how that was treated last night.
Yeah, he signed a bill that allowed people who had been in the state, graduated from Texas high schools, and had been there for 3 years to qualify for in-state tuition. Now, that could rope in some people who are here illegally. And Perry didn't back down from that, and actually he said, basically, we don't want to penalize people because of their last names. This can drive some hardliners in immigration crazy, because he's subtly suggesting that they're prejudiced.
Well, and his opponents really went after him last night on this, but he, and the audience booed, actually, but he stood his ground, saying over and over again, we are not going to discriminate on the basis of someone's last name.
Yeah, and assuming he gets out of the primary, that will stand him in good stead come general election time, because no less a conservative luminary than Jeb Bush also has similar, some would say, soft stances on immigration, and he has urged his party to watch their rhetoric, because it can be perceived to the Hispanic ear as being anti-Hispanic.
Well,
and the Hispanic voters are the fastest-growing demographic in the electorate and in the nation, and certainly in Florida.
But again, stay with Florida. We remember another rising Republican star, Marco Rubio, who also took some of these stands on immigration that were controversial to some on the far right of the Republican Party. So how are these issues resonating right there in Florida? You mentioned Bush, but tell us more.
Well, two things. One, you know, Rubio has been very kind of cautious. Yeah, he's kind of been badgered or pushed into positions, but you don't hear him talking about immigration when he doesn't have to. Secondly, as they say, Nixon could go to China. A Democrat couldn't. A Hispanic Republican can say those things. An Anglo-Republican generally can't without enduring more criticism than, say, a Rubio would.
Well, in the couple seconds we have, Mark Caputo, again, he covers politics for the Miami Herald, and you've got this vantage point there. What else are you hearing in Florida, this important state in the Republican primaries? What are you hearing about Michelle Bachmann, who is, you know, falling in the polls? Sarah Palin is still far higher in the polls and hasn't declared.
Well, it's more like what we're hearing from more Republican insiders and the like. Yes, if people like Michelle Bachmann. She's a telegenic candidate. She serves up the red meat. But she hasn't grown as a candidate. She stayed within her corner of the schoolyard and hasn't gone out and tried to get other voters. And one of the things that makes Perry so attractive to the Republican electorate is that he says what he means what he says, or at least it appears to be so, and he's willing to engage. He's willing to engage conservatives, he's willing to engage moderates, he's willing to deal with the media one-on-one. On the whole, Michelle Bachmann has a duck-and-cover policy when it comes to dealing with the news media. And Florida's a TV state. You're going to move up in the polls depending on the more television time you get. And Perry was just here. He's happily, he'll spend 5 minutes to chat with reporters and say what he thinks. It's something Michelle Bachmann doesn't do, and it's also something that Mitt Romney doesn't do.
Well, Mark, just weigh in then on this analysis, which we've heard in the New York Times and elsewhere, that what's underlying this GOP primary race is a struggle between the leadership of the Republican Party, which favors Mitt Romney, establishment candidates, and the Tea Party, which is, you know, falling in love with Rick Perry.
Yeah, I just think that's patently false, at least in Florida. Rick Perry is friends with Rick Scott, our governor. The Republican Party of Florida insiders, the consulting class, those who kind of know campaigns, on the whole, really like Rick Perry. Now, some like Mitt Romney as well, but you could say there's a grassroots versus establishment battle, and that makes for nice copy in the New York Times. You know, New York is by far not a red state, but you don't really see that here. That's a great analysis for 2010, but this is 2012. Just like they say, sometimes generals fight the last battle. The New York Times is opining on the last election.
That's Mark Caputo, the go-to guy for politics in Florida. He's with the Miami Herald. Mark, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.